each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good afternoon, and welcome to Winds of Change. This is Mary Hallin Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and it is, as ever, my privilege to be sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I am joined in the studio by a number of different people today. We have a very special episode of Winds today, folks. And if any of you have ever been to the March for Life, whether or not it's the one in Chicago or the big one in Washington, D.C., you will always see hundreds of young people in yellow sweatshirts, yellow T-shirts, other yellow apparel, carrying big balloons that say life on them. They are joyful. They are dancing. They are singing. They are defending and advocating for life, but in a way that is so attractive that even people on the other side of the debate will stop and say, who are those kids? Who are those young people? And who are those priests and other adults who are with them? And so I, to solve that mystery for you and to answer some of those questions, I am joined here today by some of the Crusaders for Life from St. John Cantius Parish in Chicago and St. Peter's Parish in Volo, Illinois, which is up near the Wisconsin border, and with their chaplain, Father Nathan Caswell. Father, welcome.
Well, thank you so much.
And
so
I'm joined with two. I have actually five Crusaders here with me today, and they're going to take turns coming up to the mic. So with me now are Haley. Haley, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
You were very privileged to do so. And Mary.
Hello.
Hi, Mary. Thank you so much for being here. This is great. And so the Crusaders have their own website, lifeballoons.com. That is what they're probably the one symbol they're best known for, are the beautiful yellow balloons with life. But Father Nathan, let's start with you, because I really want to explore how this group came to be, how it is. It's really kind of become sort of a phenomenon in the pro-life movement. I was actually out at Washington, this was about 6 months ago, and this was not at a march-related thing, but somebody said, hey, you're from Chicago. Do you all know those people with the yellow balloons? Who are they? So let's just talk. Let's start by talking a little bit about who the Crusaders are, Father.
Sure. The Crusaders for Life grew out of the March for Life in D.C. itself. It was just in the van ride back. There was only a small group of us at that time. And it was like 15 years ago. I can't even remember what year exactly. But coming back and the people there were saying, a couple families saying, we need to do this more than just once a year, not more than just go to D.C. for 1 year, you know, have this big showing and then go home and then we forget about the pro-life issue.
Hmm.
So then they said, well, what can we do? And so they started the Crusaders for Life.
So you had gone out to D.C. with some of your families, some of your other brother priests at St. John Cantius and kind of a small group of you.
Yeah, well, actually, it was a couple of families from St. John Cantius, a couple of brothers. I myself wasn't even there at that time. It predates my
you're joining the community,
at St. John Cantius. Yeah.
So St. John Cantius, listeners from outside of the Chicago area, is a Roman Catholic parish located in not far from downtown, just slightly west of where the sort of the water tower area would be, North Michigan Avenue, the Hancock Building. So it would be about, what, a mile and a half straight west of that, Father?
Right, yep.
Exactly. What's the neighborhood technically called, West Town?
It's disputed, but I mean, it's like West Town or Was the river River West?
River West, right? Yep. It has a couple. Yep. The neighborhood is in conflict over what to call itself. Father, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just say it's a beautiful tower as you pass St. Stanislaus Kostka,
right?
Where we are, and then on the left you see a Baroque tower with the backdrop of the skyline, and that's St. John Cantius.
Right, and so it's just a beautiful old Catholic church where the liturgy is really the focus of parish life, is it not?
Right. Absolutely. The liturgy, and yeah, exactly, with centered on the sacrifice of the Mass, the Eucharist as the source and summit of Christian life.
And that's
so important because that's truly when people say, where did the Crusaders come from?
Right.
It is, first of all, we always started with a liturgy.
Okay.
And that's the part that doesn't always make it into the, you know, that's not what we show on the front lines, so, you know, when we're out there on doing rallies and whatever. But it's, we always start every day with Mass, and we always bring it back to Mass.
Okay, so everything starts and ends with that. And then, so in terms of the renewal of the liturgy, St. John Cantius was really sort of a pioneer parish in that regard, having both the Latin Mass in the extraordinary form.
Right.
And then also the Novus Ordo, correct?
Right.
So, which means the Mass as you would know it, the way the Mass is said. At any traditional or average Catholic parish you would go to in Chicago, this would simply be that Mass order, but in Latin.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So we do ordinary form English.
Right.
And ordinary form Latin.
Okay.
And extraordinary form in Latin. And it was actually Cardinal Bernardine who asked Father Phillips to do the Latin Mass back in 89 or early 90s.
Right.
And
right.
They've been doing it since then.
Yeah, because I think for a lot of people, particularly who just never really adjusted to the new form of the Mass and wanted to kind of return to the Mass of their childhood because it's the way they learned to pray. And so, you know, it really was for them. I think some older people, Cardinal Bernardine, I know, wanted to pastorally provide for those people and those families
right.
who prayed in that way. And, you know, and that's the beauty of the diversity of the church is that there are many different ways that you can worship God, and you know the church makes accommodations for the ways that you feel the most comfortable. So, and I think the one thing that stands out for me, at least when I've gone to St. John Cantius, is the fantastic music.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
And it's.
So I think, like, really, the emphasis is bringing out the patrimony of the church. Like, here mm-hmm. is all the riches of the church. You know, the art, the music, the liturgy, the way that it has been celebrated
right.
for you know more than 1,000 years. Very few changes, as well as the current rites in the ordinary form, to provide all of that there so that we can be tapped into that root of tradition and bring that to whatever we are dealing with today.
Right.
You know, because so many of the answers that we're dealing with today come from the past. The answers are in the past, and we need to go back and see how have the saints. We're always looking to the saints, right?
Sure.
What did the saints in the 1600s say?
Right.
That informs our life today.
Right. And that there is, you know, within that history, that long and very rich history, there's a lot for us to learn and to apply to our lives today. And, you know, I've always been struck that I you know, to go to Mass at St. John Cantius and, for example, you know, to hear Mozart during Mass or to hear Bach, it's beautiful. And it really right. does sort of elevate your heart and your mind to another place altogether. And I know for me it was a very powerful prayer experience when I went there. You know, it's a little different from a guitar mass, but and this is not to knock guitar masses, but, you know, to experience that kind of liturgy, you know, really I think everybody should have that on their Catholic bucket list, to go to experience that at least once, because it is a way of praying that's, again, you can imagine the saints in the 14th and 15th century. Mm-hmm, this would have been their kind of liturgical experience. And it's wonderful right. to be able to connect our lives back to that. So, Father, just I was mentioning to you before we began, anytime I have on a priest or a religious, I always like to ask a couple questions about their vocation story.
Sure.
How long have you been a member of the Society of St. John Cantius?
So I came to St. John Cantius in 2005 as a brother. And I was, you know, we have a 2-year novitiate, so I was there at St. John Cantius.
Were you
for
from
a couple
the
years.
Chicago area?
Actually, no, I'm from Canada.
Okay, originally. And how did you learn about the society?
Yeah, sure. My brother, my younger brother, Father Joshua,
right.
which many people know, he was here 2 years before me, and I was looking for religious life, and I went the only place I knew, and I came to St. John Cantius. He thought I was coming here to follow him. Actually, was not following my little brother. That's not what happened. And, but, yeah, so then I came here 2005, just hearing about it online, and just there was a small, you know, reputation slowly building in 2005. The community was only a few years old. And then I came down here, visited, and I saw, I was struck by the beauty. I'd never seen anything like, like any of the churches in Chicago, which are, there's so many beautiful churches in Chicago, and I'd never seen anything like it. And the fraternity that was in the community among the brothers, just something like doing dishes together, you know, like it is, there's something about this joy, and like, here's something I can give my life to, like. We're all working together to build up the kingdom of God in this way. And that really, that really struck me, and so I decided to join.
What part of Canada were you from?
Saskatchewan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, like, if I'm looking at Canada in a map where it's, sorry,
yeah,
I'm
so ignorant geographically. No problem. That's a good question. North Dakota.
Okay.
If you go from North Dakota and you go drive 11 hours north, that's where my parents live.
Wow, my goodness. And is that an English-speaking part of Canada or a French-speaking?
It's English-speaking. For the most part. There is some French-speaking. Actually, where we live is with the Native reservations there. So there's all kinds of languages spoken
there. Oh, interesting. Wow. So, well, then, but that, the Chicago winter isn't much of a shock for you. Then it's probably...
No.
This is like coming to Florida
I've been enjoying. I've been enjoying the
mild
snow.
Weather here. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We've had a lot of people from out of state are listening to us online. We have just had in Chicago, we just broke a record that was set in, I think it's 1902 or 1906.
Really?
We had 9 consecutive days of measurable snow, which for us, there's a foot of snow out there. And we have not, you know, it's funny because Chicago used to have just kind of regular snow all the time. And for whatever reason, now we just get it in like very intense pockets. And then, you know, everything's dry for the rest of the year. But at any rate, well, Father, thank you. And how long have you now been ordained a priest for the...
I was ordained by Cardinal George, actually, my brother, Father Joshua, and I, and one of our brothers, Kevin. Men were all ordained, the last ordained by Cardinal George in 2014.
Okay. Wow. You were the last class
he
ordained. My goodness.
And it seems like 100 years ago.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. I can imagine. And so you're stationed not at John Canchet's itself, though, but out at one of your other parishes that you serve, St. Peter's in Volo?
That's right. St. Peter in Volo of the country parish. And my brother is downtown at the city parish.
Oh, so. Very good. That's probably good to keep you separated. Yes.
Yeah.
So no mischief can go on. Okay. Well, I have also here with me two of our members of Father. So Father Nathan, you're like the spiritual director or the...
I'm the chaplain.
The chaplain for the Crusaders for Life.
Officially of the Volo Crusaders.
Okay.
And there's other brothers, Brother Nathan Ford, who's the official chaplain of the Chicago Crusaders.
Okay.
We kind of all take turns just doing stuff.
Wonderful. So, okay, Haley, I'm going to start with you now. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where do you live? Where do you go to school? What kind of things are you interested in?
Okay, well, I live by Volo, because obviously that's where I go. Hawthorne Woods.
Okay.
It's a small town, but... It's nice up there. I am homeschooled. Okay. I do Mother Divine Grace, which is an online school.
So you're homeschooled for high school?
Yes,
wow,
I am.
Wow, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a big homeschooling community up there in Bowling?
There actually is. A lot of our parish is homeschooled, which is really nice, and a lot of us homeschoolers then get to get together and hang out. And people say homeschoolers don't have social life. That's not true.
No. Yeah.
A lot of our social life is actually through Crusaders or even St. Peter's youth groups, and it's awesome, and I love it there.
Okay, wonderful.
And then for what I do... I do martial arts and
do
I do kickboxing.
Oh
yes,
my goodness!
I do.
You do not. You don't look threatening from here, but I will.
That's
I will
good.
Mind my P's and Q's with you. And then Mary, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I also live near Volo in an even smaller town, Wakanda, and I'm. Also,
I have been to Wakanda.
Oh, yeah.
Wakanda's a lovely community.
Yeah, it used to be a little like vacation area, but not so much anymore.
Right.
So I'm also homeschooled. Haley and I are actually in the same homeschool group we have around St. Peter's, and. I used to do martial arts with her, but now I'm sort of just focusing on school.
Okay, so. Terrific. Well, now that we've had our introductions, we're going to go to our first break. And when we return, we're going to get into some of the details about the Crusaders for Life, this fantastic group. Please stay tuned. Don't go away. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Aletheia. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and I am joined for the next 45 minutes by the Crusaders for Life, who are a young adult and youth group based both in Chicago at St. John Cantius Parish and then out in Volo, Illinois, at St. Peter's in Volo, sort of a beautiful country parish up near the Wisconsin border. And I'm joined by Father Nason Caswell, who is the spiritual director and chaplain for the group, and also by a number of its members, and they're going to be switching out the mics here. Haley and Mary and I have just started to get to know each other a little bit. And girls, how did you come to meet the Crusaders?
I don't know. It just sort of is something that has always been a part of our lives. Like, it's something that's always been important to us, like, as a kid going.
But how does one join? So, like, say I'm, you know, my family moves to St. Peter's in Volo, and, you know, is it part of, like, the parish welcome packet? You know, like, here's the Crusaders stuff if your kids want to join, or how does one?
Well, officially, like, to be a Crusader, it's ages 13 to 18. So okay. For us, when we were joining, it was sort of, oh, you're 13 now? This is what you do. You're pro-life. You join the Crusaders.
Okay. The way to join is that you get approached by somebody at some point at St. Peter's, and they're like, yo, Crusaders is this Saturday. You better come. And they show up, and that's how it happens.
Okay. Hey, that's what's happened. We've been at other marches, like the Palatine March, which is in Palatine, Illinois, and we'll be there, and people will say, like, yo, how do we join?
Just show up.
Well, see, that's what I have meetings. Heard. Like, for, you know, like, even, you know, my own teenager will be like, well, where are the meetings, and how do you go, and where do you find out about, you know, what the group does? And
well, you can come. There are the meetings that are in Chicago at St. John Cantius, and there's also the ones that are at St. Peter's in Volo, so we usually just recommend whichever one's closer for you.
Okay. So what, do you have a set time of the week or the month that you meet?
First Saturday at 7:30.
In the morning.
No,
at night.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Okay. I was going to say, you're very unusual teenagers if you're getting up that early. And there's no hazing ritual.
No.
There's like not an
so
initiation.
Friendly. The hazing ritual is eating some like chips and drinking soda.
Also, the
Chicago Crusaders meeting is the third Friday of the month.
Okay.
This Friday?
Sorry,
this week.
I'm getting
this
some
Friday.
Signals from
it's
inside that I don't understand. It's this Friday.
This Friday for the Chicago. So
that's
someone
right. Absolutely. Come to St. John.
Oh, and at 7:30 as well.
At 7:30.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you don't have to wear anything yellow to come to the meetings, right?
No.
Those are like your uniforms when you go to marches.
Yeah.
So listen, so the thing that I you know, I'm always so impressed by is the, you know, the joy and the camaraderie that seems to be so, you know, just bubbling over in your group and so evident from people who, you know, stand from afar and watch and admire you. And that kind of stuff you can't fake, you know. You really seem to be having so much fun with each other. Tell me a little bit about, like, you know, so you meet once a month, right? For And what do you do at your meetings? Is there, like, a talk or formation or?
Yeah, so we usually start with, we talk. Sometimes we pray a rosary. Sometimes we have adoration as part of it. But then it's just, we play games. We just, you know, really it's kind of a youth night. We just hang out. But then usually there's a talk or something focused on pro-life issue where we come to really think about what we're doing as crusaders, who we are as crusaders, you know, like what are the issues. Sometimes we'll have a talk on, you know, stem cell research. Sometimes we'll talk about, you know, abortion itself, how to talk about abortion,
right,
how to have that debate in a way that respects the other person. How, you know, just fill out all of those things that we need to know as crusaders, as proclaiming life to the world.
So the purpose of the group is not only for, you know, to build up social bonds and friendships, and but it's also sort of educational and then formational in the faith.
Right. So, yeah, no, yeah. That's very true. It is formational. I think we all have learned so much. I don't think any of us would be able to speak about the pro-life issue as well if we weren't meeting every month and just talking about it and talking with people who are okay with us talking about it, because that's so hard to find. You know, it's in schools and high schools especially, it's like you're pressured into these groups and these, you know, the social pressure is intense, and for you to be pro-life in a place that's not pro-life is very difficult. So we just really, we provide a place where we can just all talk about this, and then we can prepare ourselves to go out and help people.
Right. So, you know, it's interesting that even in some Catholic high schools, I think you would have students who would, you know, just grow up in kind of average Catholic families and would be really pro-life in their mindsets. But then something happens, you get to high school and there might be a small group of maybe 10 kids who are very vocally anti-life, and they tend to, you know, sometimes really ostracize the pro-life kids or kind of frighten them socially into silence. Mary and Haley, have you found that with, I know you wouldn't find it in the Crusaders, obviously, but with other acquaintances you might have who aren't part of the Crusaders, has anyone ever shared those kind of things
with you? Yeah, definitely. I think that sometimes we'll meet people from school and they'll say, like, well, how do you have this big group? And it's just, they don't have that experience. They are pro-life themselves, but they might not have the opportunity to be part of such a big group. They don't, they're just not an outlet to be pro-life. For us, this is a way that we can be pro-life and show that it matters to other people, because even though we don't get, like, the news coverage and we don't always get told, but even if that didn't happen, the fact that we're there for us to show and help other people, and we constantly want to grow, we constantly want to have more members and make this bigger and better as we go. But also just for us, the fact that we have the support from each other, because I know a lot of people don't. And I know other kids that I've, as you said, in Catholic schools or public schools, because I'm homeschooled myself, so this is a lot through what we talk, but they just don't have this.
Right.
And that's why we encourage people to join, because through this you can learn that you're not alone and other people are pro-life.
Yeah. And Mary, we were talking a little bit off air about how genuine your friendships are with the other people that you've met through Crusaders.
Definitely. I mean, the people in Crusaders are, like, my real, real friends. Like, I've known Haley my whole life, and she's in Crusaders, and it's, like, we tell each other everything. We're best friends. I'm friends with everybody in Crusaders, and it's, like, they're, like, my family. It's, like, it's more than just, like, a group. It's, like, a part of, like, my life. It's, you know.
So, Father Nathan, do the boys and girls meet together, young men and young women?
Yeah.
So how many,
they meet together, but they sit apart on the bus.
I see, yeah.
Well,
that makes sense for all, that crosses across all denominational lines. And but so what would be the breakdown between boys and girls?
It's actually 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, when I look at the roster for our recent Life Tour trip, it was actually half and half, which is not represented today, but yeah. All these girls were available to come speak, so happy they did.
Well, you know, I always find that when I, you know, there's this kind of really ridiculous stereotype of the pro-life movement being sort of made up of angry men, where right. My personal experience has been exactly the opposite. That, you know, I think you could pick out any random parish in the Archdiocese of Chicago and go to the parish pro-life committee meeting, you know, once a month, and I guarantee you 95% of the people there are going to be women. It's really women who have been. Yeah, so I'm actually very edified to hear that you have, you know, about half of boys, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, for whatever reason, in a lot of different church-related young adult groups and whatever, the boys tend to stay away a little bit, you know.
Sure.
And
sure,
so
sure.
It's neat. That's always, I thought, a very neat aspect of your thing, is that the boys don't seem to be afraid to show up.
Right, absolutely. One of the things that the guys do so well is last few years we've kind of been growing our drum line, and
right.
we have this drum line, and the guys love it, and they show up for practice, like they're so committed to this drum line, and they're excellent, and that like carries the whole group as mm-hmm. we rally, as we do everything,
yep.
and you know, and not just that, but there's guys who just come out and show just show up by holding the balloons, by
right.
holding the flags,
okay.
by just like.
Yeah,
just
no,
you've
got to have strong guys to do some of the things that you do. So
mm-hmm.
Now the drum line, that's interesting you should bring that up, because that was a really neat feature of the Chicago March for Life this year. A lot
mm-hmm.
of the videos, whether that was on the news or the independent videos, featured that drum line. Did that just grow organically, or did you like wake up one morning and say we need a drum line? Or
No, absolutely. Yeah, it wasn't me. These guys love playing the drums. We had one guy who could play the quads. Then we have brother Nathan Ford, who has drums in his background, and
okay.
he's got family.
So was he the one I saw on the tape of the march? Or was that you?
It depends.
Okay.
We're both there in
You're
different
both
places.
There playing. Okay.
You know, and a lot of other brothers, a lot of other priests, you know, come show up every once in a while. So,
uh-huh.
But he was one who's really he's helped them, you know, learn the cadences, and we got help. We did a fundraiser last year. One of the girls baked cinnamon buns, and we made enough for a whole line of drums.
Oh my gosh.
The cinnamon
wow.
buns are that good.
Wow.
And so now we have real drums. We used to have buckets.
Right, right.
Which
right.
were cool.
The bucket kids.
Cool.
No, that's very you know, that's very hip and urban. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't
mm-hmm.
you do the buckets?
But it's fun to have, you know, real snares and things like that. And they do so good. And I was just told by someone in St. Louis that there's a couple groups around there that are actually learning our cadences, and they
wow.
want, they're doing what we do, and they're kind of basing what they do on what we do.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I'm getting a lot of those calls from around the country.
Right.
We actually send out our life balloons all over the country to every state. We've sent life balloons.
Uh-huh.
And we just provide them at cost as much as we're able. And then, and people love the life balloons because
yep.
they're just this joyful.
Who doesn't love a balloon,
right.
for starters?
Balloon.
But
yeah.
but you know, so listeners, there are these beautiful large yellow balloons that say life on them. And how did that particular aspect of your, you know, attendance at the marches develop with the balloons?
That's actually a great story. So the story of the yellow
yeah,
came
the yellow,
from
right.
the election of Pope Benedict the 16th.
Okay.
There were some protesters outside the cathedral, and one of the brothers said, we can't let someone just protest Pope Benedict being elected. He's our pope. So we went out there with yellows, and we got yellow because yellow's from the Vatican flag. The Vatican flag is gold and silver,
okay,
right?
Okay, right.
It comes across as white and yellow. And that's where the yellow came from. So we all wore yellow that time, and then from that moment on, we all had yellow. So it was this joyful support of the pope
mm-hmm.
that was kind of like unintended, grew into the Crusaders for Life.
Right, it's kind of your hallmark.
So the gold represents that divinity, right? Because that's what the gold on the Vatican flag represents,
mm-hmm.
the divinity, the sunshine is joyful, all these things. The balloons themselves came first, it was, I think, 2011, there was like a Planned Parenthood rally downtown at Daley Plaza, and we showed up. It was in the time when flash mobs were super big.
Oh,
and
okay.
Everyone's doing flash mobs. So we got a bunch of balloons, and they were actually in garbage bags, so it was a complete surprise. We walked on to the square and pulled out all of these yellow balloons, and it was just like the sun came out.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was so bright, and you can see it on YouTube. It's there somewhere from 2011.
Right.
And it was the theme to the Lord of the Rings was playing, and just like, it was just so joyful.
That's
just like
fantastic.
Kids coming out
yeah.
and playing, you know.
Right, right, right.
And
right.
it really and shut down the other side, because okay. how can you argue against life
mm-hmm.
and joy and you know, children playing, you know.
And it makes the differences between the two sides that much starker, because you see the anger on the other side. And, you know, that was one of the things that really struck me about the, you know, very small, I think maybe they had, you know, 75 or 80 total counter-protesters at the Chicago March for Life, is that they were all dressed like in black and in dark, and they were, you know, there was just sort of a pallor, you know, over in their entire counter-protest. And then you all come in, again, with the light and the joy and the happiness and the snare drums. And the contrast is so incredibly stark. I often wonder, like, what people who are kind of neutral on the issue who are walking around must think of it, you know. So, well, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and meet some of our other crusaders. Please don't go away. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I have been joined today by the Crusaders for Life, who are the wonderful young people that you see at the March for Life in Chicago and the March for Life in Springfield and the March for Life in Washington, D.C., most importantly, who wear the yellow sweatshirts and have the yellow balloons that say Life. They are a joyful, energetic group of about how many, Father Nathan? I'm here with Father Nathan, their chaplain.
About 150.
150
we usually
kids,
get.
Yeah. Boy, yeah. But, you know, evenly matched between young men and young women. And I'm joined by a number of the Crusaders here in the studio today. We had Haley and Mary on earlier, and now I'm joined by Natalie and Faye, who do the organization's social media. Natalie, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, which branch of the Crusaders that you're a part of.
Yeah, so I'm actually from Chicago. I grew up going to St. John Cantius. So I'm with the Chicago chapter of the Crusaders.
Okay, and are you homeschooled as well?
I'm actually out of college.
Oh, you are? Good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. You are very youthful looking.
Thank you.
Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And Faye, where are you from?
I am from the northwest side of Chicago.
Okay.
And I, too, am part of the Chicago chapter of Crusaders.
Okay.
And I am not homeschooled, unlike a lot of my other friends. I was homeschooled, actually, for 4 or 5 years. But now I attend the Willis Academy.
Excellent. Okay, terrific. And what year are you there?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. Yeah. Terrific. So the two of you now kind of go into the hornet's nest of social media for the Crusaders. And I would love to hear, first of all, I want to say how impressive that is, that you have people who are just dedicated to handling the social media, because you know, that is something I think where the church absolutely needs to be and the pro-life movement absolutely needs to be. Sometimes I wonder, you know, are we really changing anybody's hearts and minds on abortion simply by one post? But, you know, that's sort of the beauty of the way God can use things. God can use technology, is that somebody you know, who might be in a crisis situation could just happen to come across something, and something you all may say or reply could be an answer to prayer for that person. So can you, first of all, tell us how your social media works? Like, what are you on? Probably Facebook, I would imagine, and Twitter, but is there anything else, Instagram, that you're on beyond
that?
Yeah,
so we do Facebook and Instagram. That's our two. Yeah.
So you're not on Twitter?
We're not on Twitter.
Okay.
Not yet.
Well, I have two teenagers, and they're not on Twitter. I mean, they just said none of their friends are on Twitter. So, and certainly none of them are on Facebook, because that's for old people like me, like their mom. But Facebook is, I think, an important place where a lot of, you know, media, secular media, would get their information. So I think, you know, your presence there is well worth your time to maintain. So what do y'all do on social media? Tell me some of the things you would post. And I'd love to hear about any kinds of debates or interactions you've had with people on the other side.
Mm-hmm. So most of our posts are just about what we do with our group. So we'll take pictures when we're on marches. We'll, you know, give information on when our meetings are. It's just to keep people updated with what we're doing.
Okay. So that's how you keep members of the group, your own organization, informed about your meetings and that kind of stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on Facebook, so I'm in charge of Facebook, and Faye does a lot of the Instagram.
Okay.
But we do a lot of work together, obviously. But for Facebook, I've noticed that, I mean, a lot of people love us. Like, that's the main response that we get. So that's really awesome. But you know, whenever we put videos out, people are always just inspired by our group, and they'll send us messages just like, you know, I really love what you guys are doing, and they want to start doing that where they're at.
Right. Oh, so people reach out to you to ask you how to form their own Crusaders group.
Yeah.
And so, Father, do you have, like, you know, are you available then to train, you know, so say there's a youth minister listening to me today who would really like to take your model, because your model seems to have been tremendously successful. And I, you know, what do you attribute that to? I mean, I know, first of all, it's joyful and it's fun, and we can't look at you guys and not smile. But you know, a lot of youth groups start with those kind of good, fun intentions and wind up kind of going nowhere.
Yeah, I get asked this a lot, and I don't know. I honestly, I don't think we have a model.
Okay.
And I think maybe that's part of the thing, is that we're just there. I mean, we have a simple model in terms of, like, we have a monthly meeting and then we go show up. If I could point to a couple of things, I'd say first the Mass, and I don't just say that because I'm a priest and that's what I do, but it really is that prayer. I say it all the time, and everyone knows, if charity is not the heart of what we're doing, then it's meaningless.
Right.
That's meaning, then we're just a big show.
Okay.
But we can't be that. So, and I think that that makes us authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are looking for authentic. They're not looking for people to sell them more stuff.
Right.
And that's, and people, when people see someone who's just themselves, they're attracted to it. And so we go out there, and I think it's the hardest for all of us. I know I've had to do it a lot, is to come out of myself to do silly things. We have this chant, pro-life moose, where you there was a pro-life moose.
It was.
He used to march for life, etc.
Yeah.
give me the first verse. Okay.
There was a pro-life moose.
There was a pro-life moose. Who liked to march for life?
There
was a pro-life moose.
Who liked
to march for life?
Saying no way, yo.
Oh,
and it's just, I mean, it's not
silly,
not anything,
but
it's not a pro-life argument. It's
right.
It's just being fun. And
right.
just doing something. And I think the most important thing for us is to get out of ourselves and stop taking ourselves so seriously and just, like, go out there and cheer in front of the world and say, life is beautiful, life is great, we love life, and that's our model.
So you were starting to tell me about a time when you flash mobbed a Planned Parenthood rally with your life balloons. Tell me a little bit about when you've had really those kind of direct encounters with people on the other side of the abortion argument. Do people come up to you? Do they yell at you? Or do they just kind of look at you and walk away? I mean, what's your general experience been?
I would say there have been a few people, but very few people who come up and who will yell at us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're holding those graphic signs,
right?
People get, you know, or when we're praying outside an abortion clinic, I get so many people waving at me with one finger, you know,
right.
It's a very, that happens all the time. But But when we're doing what we're doing, we're having fun, and people see that.
Right.
And there's not really a good response. They kind of watch us. They see us. They can yell at us, but they only yell at us if they're not really looking at what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless they came there to yell, which was kind of the case of the Chicago March.
Right.
You know, there's people who came there to yell at us, and they yelled at us the whole way and never engaged us. You know, never.
Really?
You know, they maybe they wanted to, but it obviously was not a good place for dialogue.
Had they kind of targeted your group and they were following you, like chanting back at you or trying to drown you out?
I think it was the whole march. It was the whole march. It's very hard to target a group with has a drum line at the core because it's so loud.
That does help.
And
yeah.
It's not just the drum line. Everybody is in on all the chants.
Right.
Everybody's involved. And I think that kind of involvement is what attracts people too, because you want to be... You want to go to a place where everyone is involved.
Right.
Where everyone is...
Everyone's included.
Included, yeah,
everyone's
exactly.
included. And that's, that, you know, that's very evident, too, just as, like, a mom of teenagers watching. You all are together. And that's a very edifying thing to see, I think, even to other people. You all are a unit.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have, like, is there a march school or a place where you learn your chants? Do you have, like, a chant class or...
Before our big life tour that we've been doing or going to the March for Life in D.C., we just have a meeting where we go through all the chants and we all learn them so we all know.
Okay.
I think that's something that we want so much for other people to know our chants.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we now have videos on our YouTube channel that where they can learn the chants and it has the text and things.
So what's your YouTube channel, girls?
Good question.
Crusaders for Life. Chicago.
Okay. Excellent. Nice.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
And then lifeballoons.com is your website, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's our
excellent.
Website, yeah.
Terrific. And
probably the most active thing is Facebook.
Is
the Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. Facebook.
More so than, you know, Instagram or.
And I think also Facebook reaches a different audience than Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Like Instagram is more towards teenagers
mm-hmm.
nowadays
mm-hmm.
versus Facebook, which just. It's more of an adult or young adult audience.
Right. Well, tell me, Natalie, have you ever had sort of a one-on-one back and forth with either a Facebook troll or somebody who finds you guys and is trying to antagonize you? And do you have any particular circumstances that you recommend how one would respond? I know you all, as part of your Crusaders group, you're all trained on pro-life issues so that you can, my guess is, pretty well respond to some of the, you know, pro-choice arguments that are put out there. But is there a particular occasion you remember you'd like to share?
I mean, most of the time we get positive messages, but sometimes we'll get negative ones. And for those, I remember one time, it actually wasn't exactly directed at our group, but more of us using life balloons.
Mm-hmm.
How using life balloons was like a threat to like animals
and the environment. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I actually had no idea how to respond to that. And I actually sent an email to Father Nathan and Father Joshua. I'm like, what do I do? And I mean, it's hard. I mean, for that case, I mean, we didn't really do much for that. But for other negative comments, you know, I always thank them for their message because, you know, it is their opinion
mm-hmm.
and we should be open to others' opinions and to be able to talk about it.
Right.
So I always thank them first and then get into what they're saying to us. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of, is there a common thread in some of the things that they say or challenge you with?
Sometimes it's kind of like, why are you leading these teens into something that they're unfamiliar about? Or, like, do they really know what they're doing sometimes?
Mm. So basically you all are kind of brainwashed. That's the angle that they're saying, that you're not here by your own volition.
Are you brainwashed?
No.
You don't see.
So
you
that's
don't
exactly
hear.
What you told them to say.
No, that's very good. Good one. Okay. No, you are.
Absolutely. They're so, I mean, the people... It's hard to come up with a specific case, like what do people tell us, because they tell us all the same things that that the media just puts down. Nobody has an original line, you know?
Right.
You know, like
right.
everything is like, so you guys are just brainwashed, which is not an argument,
mm-hmm.
because if they would come talk to us, they see that actually our position is very reasonable.
Right.
And we reason through it all the time that a child unborn is still a child.
Right.
You know, and that we are... there to speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, the most vulnerable in our society. And so there's a difference, certainly a difference between education and brainwashing.
Right. Well, what I find the most frustrating, and I got in a debate with somebody who's a friend of a friend on Facebook, and the person was, you know, I didn't make, it was at the time that the Senate voted down the Pain Capable Awareness Act, the 20-week, essentially it was called the 20-week ban, mm-hmm. the 20-week abortion ban. And I had a nephew who was born at 22 weeks, 0 days, so micropreemie, who was a very happy and healthy toddler now, praise God. And so, you know, I have a particular sensitivity to babies in that age range being, you know, and so I was referring to scientific articles and, you know, C. Everett Koop, the former Surgeon General, saying, you know, yes, there might be times you have to separate a mom and a baby early, mm-hmm. but there's nothing medically that requires you to kill the baby to do that. You can deliver the baby in other ways that don't end in the baby's death. And this person kept coming back at me saying, you know, I'm glad that you have your religious beliefs and take your religious arguments elsewhere. I had never once cited my religious beliefs, the scripture, you know, the catechism, right. nothing. I kept saying, well, who's talking about? You're the only one bringing up religion here, not me. Mm-hmm. Well, Father, when we get back from our break, I'd like to hear about upcoming events. And Natalie and Faye, I'd like to hear a little bit more about what happens when one graduates from the Crusaders. Now, Natalie, obviously they didn't kick you out. They let you stay through college, so that's great. Yeah. But I'd kind of like to hear about the trajectory of how one continues along the Crusader path. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Don't go away.
We at Winds of Change thank you for your prayers and financial support. As you have often heard, Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you, and especially now. Please give what you can to help support Winds of Change to stay on the air. Any amount will be greatly appreciated. Simply go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio button to make your donation to Winds of Change, which will be a tremendous blessing. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Watch out! He is showing us his flesh. I am Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for Tabor Life Institute. God has taken on our flesh, and during the Feast of the Epiphany, God shows his flesh to the world. In the Western Lung of the Church, God is showing this to the wise men. The Eastern Lung, having just celebrated the circumcision of Christ's flesh, now speaks of Christ's naked flesh during his baptism in the Jordan River. In the East, Epiphany is also called Theophany. So why all this flesh? Because the flesh of Jesus Christ reveals his divinity and the truth about being human. This is the theology of the body. Christ's birth, Epiphany, and baptism in the flesh has renewed all creation. And if this is real to us, how do we now see all of creation, especially human body persons? To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on listener-supported AM 750 WNDZ. And this hour is just flying by. We are in our final segment with Father Nason Caswell, the chaplain of the Crusaders for Life, and I've been joined by a number of the different Crusaders. Emma is just coming on now. We're switching out the mic so everybody gets a chance to talk. Hi, Emma. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So you're up at St. Peter's and Volo as well.
Yes,
and
I am.
So how long have you been a Crusader?
I've been a Crusader for about 3 years now.
Excellent. Did you just go on the recent trip downstate Illinois?
Yes, we went on the Life Tour.
Okay, the Life Tour. So tell me what the Life Tour is.
The Life Tour is when we go on a tour of...
you don't take a tour of your own life, yeah. right? You don't. So that could be misinterpreted. The journey of me. So you all go to different spots along.
Yeah, we go on different places in like St. Louis and Springfield and.
Are you all on a bus together?
Yeah, three buses.
Wow, yeah. wow. So there's like no purgatorial time left. for like anybody making the bus
trip.
Oh,
might be. It's pretty fun.
Oh my gosh, is it? Okay, yeah. I always just think of all that time in the buses. You know, Father, speaking of, there was one year, I want you to quickly tell this story because if listeners have not seen this video clip, it is so powerful. When you all got stuck in that terrible blizzard on, what interstate was it, coming back from the march in Washington?
It was coming through Pennsylvania. We got stuck at Breezewood. Actually, we were one of the fortunate ones who actually got to a hotel. We happened to be off the expressway when it closed.
They shut down the interstate, and people were literally. I saw on one video on Facebook somebody had made an altar out of snow. And
that famous snow altar. That was
crazy. But people had to sleep on buses.
They were on a bus, for 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
We were crammed into some.
So you
hotel
got into
rooms,
a hotel,
But then we ended up making the bar our home, right? Okay. So they opened it up to us. It was this big space, and we had Mass in the bar.
Okay.
My brother and I, both of us priests, were there. We celebrated Mass in the snowstorm. We met another group, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, were also stuck in Breezewood. They found us. They were looking for Mass.
Oh, wow.
And it was like an hour before. We went to the gift store, got some Yankee candles, so to have candles for the altar. And then we set up in this bar, and it was the most beautiful Mass.
Well, did you have enough hosts with you? How did you handle communion?
The good people of Breezewood, someone had a 4x4, got to the local parish.
Isn't that beautiful?
And got the supplies to us so we could actually have that Mass.
Well, the clip that went viral was of you. I believe it was your post-communion meditation. Can you tell listeners a little bit about that, Father?
Right. There's a few of them, but maybe you're talking about the Coventry Carol one. Yeah.
Right.
There is a hymn to the Holy Innocents, which talks about, you know, Herod slaughtering the Holy Innocents. That's that's kind of been our theme song, the song that we always go back to. We sing it everywhere, and everyone knows it in four parts. And it's so poignant to think of the Holy Innocents. And what we're doing is proclaiming the value of the life of those who are innocent, you know, those who are being killed because someone else, in a sense, someone else wants power.
Right. Well, I was so grateful that someone had the presence of mind to get out their cell phone and to snap a video. And listeners, what you see in this video, and Father, if someone wanted to see it on YouTube, what would they Google? What keywords would they Google?
Crusaders for Life, Chicago.
Yeah, and then just videos or something. Say something. And what
there could be bar mass.
Bar mass. Yeah. Okay. Sky or the blizzard, whatever. Pennsylvania Turnpike. But it's what you see is, you know, dozens and dozens of high school students kneeling in a bar in Pennsylvania in a blizzard in four parts in perfect harmony singing this hymn, and it's just breathtaking because there's no music; it's all a cappella, and it's just magnificent. You think, my goodness, look at these, you know, for all the bad things that are said about young people and being obsessed with social media and everything else, it's really a beautiful sort of, you know, antidote to some of the things you read about young people. So
another really awesome one, I just got to throw it out there, that we sang the Coventry Carol in the state capitol last year.
Wow.
And we have 150 people around the top of the rotunda there over the railing.
In Springfield,
And the acoustics in the state capitol are excellent. Uh-huh. You know, it's just to hear it in that space, to be praying for, you know, for life, for all those in the state capitol, for praying the change of hearts of politicians, you know, for, you know, that being there was so powerful. So
did you encounter any politicians while you were there?
No, they run away.
they're afraid of you.
There's a couple of good ones who keep showing up, you know.
Well, you know, that's one of the interesting things about the Crusaders, and Father, maybe we could explore this a little bit about why it is that you all don't elicit that kind of angry feedback.
Right. Yeah. No, as I was trying to think, I was like, I must have a story of angry feedback, but we don't, it doesn't really come up because what we are doing is joyful, right? What we're doing is kids, and in the Psalms it says, out of the mouths of babes and infants you have found perfect praise. And there is a joy of youth that everybody wants, you know. And so there's a lot of people, really good people, Students for Life of America or of Illinois, of, you know, all these people who really think through the issues and have the perfect arguments.
Right.
And we do that, and we're growing in that. But our position is just to go out and show the joy of life. And really, we preach more by our actions and by our joy than we do engaging people on the street in dialogue.
Right. Well, you know, it reminds me of, and girls, you were definitely probably not born when, but about 20, 25 years ago, an organization called the DeMoss Foundation put out a variety of different television ads. This is when people's primary, you know, interaction with the world was through television, called Life, What a Beautiful Choice. And it just showed people in different circumstances who chose life and, you know, how happy they were and beautiful things. And I remember reading one reaction of somebody from Planned Parenthood said, you know, she saw this ad, and it's a beautiful ad of an African-American father helping his little boy tie his shoes. And, you know, it ends with Life, What a Beautiful Choice. And she said she became so enraged, she took her shoe off, and she literally broke her television with the heel of her shoe. She was beating it so hard. She was so enraged to see these just beautiful, joyful ads. So there is something, I think, you know, just to go back to the whole King Herod thing, where the devil hates this kind of beauty, right?
Absolutely.
And so I'm grateful to hear, though, that none of you all have ever, you know, had anybody be personally angry with you, because that can be very, you know, that can be intimidating when you're a young person. As part of your preparation for the kids, do you have a part of your training and your formation where you would say this is how a Christian responds when someone attacks us? I mean, do we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, obviously, we're talking about everything we do is from charity.
Right.
And so there are times when we do dialogue, you know, on whether we're on college campus, all these, everyone's going to be going to college. And that's really a place of a lot of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
But then usually during the rallies and things like that, when we're all together, the policies, we don't engage people who are protesting us, because it's not a place for dialogue.
Right.
You know, they don't come to dialogue with us.
Right.
We're there to show that life is beautiful.
Okay.
And because also, you know, high school kids and...
Right.
And
we want
a safe, you know, safe, joyful demonstration. We're not here to...
Right.
You know, we're not terrorizing any towns or anything.
And I think, too, that is such a, you know, it's all part of, you know, being a good example to others and being mindful of our own Christian dignity, but also of the Christian dignity of that other person. You know, it's very hard to see Christ in people with whom we disagree sometimes, particularly on an issue where, you know, we know what they believe is not what the Lord would want. And but how do we, you know, you have to persuade people with love. It reminds me of, you know, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who ran New York City's largest abortion clinic and wrote the book Aborting America. He stopped doing abortions after he did a video-guided abortion for one of his clients, and he could see the baby literally trying to get away from the instruments, and that was the kind of the beginning of his conversion. Mm-hmm. But for many years, he called himself a pro-life atheist. He'd been raised a Jew, but he was never a practicing one. But shortly before he died, he did become a Catholic, and he said it was the love of the Catholic pro-life community that, he said, broke through my hard shell of atheism. It's a so love is what breaks through, you know, those shells. And as I was watching, you know, you all at the March for Life, and I mean, again, everybody waits for your arrival, you know, when you come. And I know you tend to try to plant surprises, kind of. Yeah, maybe.
We just show up late.
so that's not part of the thing. I thought that was all part of your shtick, you know.
No, we like to put on, we like to show up, you know. And
right.
Get everyone engaged. You
know, right.
I think what we've always done in D.C. and these local marches, Chicago, St. Louis, Springfield, is to get everyone else pumped up, because there's so many pro-life groups out there. There's hundreds, thousands all over the country, and they need to know that there are other people doing that.
Right.
And because there are, if we, all the pro-life people got together.
Yeah.
It'd
be incredible.
It
when
would
you
be
think the number, there's what, 50 different marches,
right,
you know, through the course of the, you know, the around the week of the Roe versus Wade anniversary. And in most cities, it's quite cold. I mean, it is not a comfortable thing to go out there and do this. So when you all show up and, you know, kind of gives you an excuse as an adult to dance and to move around and to, but no, I think that's a very beautiful principle, Father. I hadn't thought of it in this way, that you all come and you're very unifying, aren't you?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Try to be. I think try to break down the wall of fear, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of people are afraid to dance, they're afraid to shout, they're afraid to show up for a pro-life march, and they're afraid to be pro-life in high school or on college campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need to know that there are other people there, and that's what I hope that's what we're doing. I know we are. I know.
Well, now that you know January is behind you, where would anybody go now to find out more about your upcoming events and activities? Can you tell, as we close out here, this wonderful hour?
I'll let Natalie see.
Yeah, so we have meetings every month. St. Peter's is the first Saturday of the month.
And Facebook is the best place to find
Facebook,
out the meeting?
Yeah, Facebook.
Okay, terrific.
Both Volo and Chicago. And then, stay updated that way.
Terrific. So look at Crusaders for Life on Facebook or on Instagram. My thanks to Father Nathan Caswell, to Haley and Mary and Natalie and Faye and Emma of the Crusaders for Life. This has been a fantastic hour. I'm grateful to all of you for all you do and for making the time to share with listeners. This has been Mary Fiorito filling in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. We'll see you next week.
We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time.